time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener.
You heard it right here. It's time now for the Green Country Gardener. Hopefully you're having a good Saturday morning so far. We got Larry Glass with us. We also have Kevin Potter. Guys, how you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
Doing good. It's a beautiful day out there.
Yeah. You guys are really good at making weird weather, let me tell you.
Beautiful
hot
day.
And cold and hot and cold.
You know,
you put on four layers, you go home with one.
I was last week, I said, this is unbelievable. There's years we hadn't even had a frost by now, and now it's 15 degrees or whatever.
Yeah, you're 2 weeks too early.
Gosh.
Hey, anyway, we do have some great weather coming up this week. Mm-hmm. A super time to get some pansies established in the garden, because the ground will warm up a little bit. And it's not that bad really right now. It's not that cold.
Let me ask something, Larry.
A lot of heat. It's been kind of warm all summer.
Right.
It takes a while for that heat to dissipate.
Yes. So if I want to go out and kill that fescue that's in my Bermuda and everything, can I do it now?
Yep.
Today I can go spray.
I think the Bermuda grass is pretty much dormant at this point.
Because I am going to get that sprayer out and I'm going to start spraying.
Well, I thought you'd get out your .22 maybe.
Well, I can do that too.
Get out with that.
Chainsaws and sprayers.
Rifles and stuff.
I'm going to do it.
That's one way to do it.
I'm going to do
it. Target practice with your fescue grass.
So will that hurt my magnolias or the...
Roundup?
Yeah.
If you don't touch the leaves, it'll be all right. And if you don't touch any open wounds with it, it won't hurt it any. And use Roundup at the proper ratio.
You mean just don't dump it in?
No, don't do it full strength.
Just whoosh.
Yeah. The warmer it is, the less percentage you have to use. The cooler it is, say, the more you might have to use for it to work.
Yeah.
So if it's going to get relatively warm, which it is, I would go ahead with the 1.5-2% ratio. Be just fine. You probably get the 49% Roundup.
So if I have 60-gallon, how much do I... 60-gallon of water.
60 gallons? Well, that'll kill dandelions in the whole town.
Goodness.
I've got an area to spray.
Yeah, well, 60 gallons, that's, 2% of 60 is what?
1% would be...
3 gallons.
Yeah, we'll see.
Then it's 50%, so you need 6 gallons.
Yeah.
60% is actual Roundup, not the diluted.
I'll get it.
It's just like nitrogen. When you get... Yeah. You buy 10, 20, 10, you're getting 90% gypsum, 10% nitrogen.
Yeah.
And 46 of oil, you're getting 46%.
Is this still a good time of year to plant some trees and different things?
Oh, it's a great time. It's one of the best times. We've been planting trees.
This is a good time, huh?
We've been planting a lot of trees and shrubs this week, yes.
Okay.
Very busy.
Because I've got one I need to get...
planted?
Yeah. I've got to go to the nursery and... find the right kind that I want, though.
Cool. And what kind might that be?
Well, I want like a blue atlas, but I want one that's very upright and doesn't spread out very much.
Hortzman.
No, those get wider, though.
Really?
Yes.
That's what I
just pulled out.
We do have some blue atlas cedars that are very narrow and upright.
I want them very narrow.
And, in fact, they look like half the leaves are missing.
Yes, that's
because they're young. They'll grow out of that. So.
But how wide will they get?
Well, blue atlas cedars all get about the same width.
Well, I don't want a blue atlas, one that looks like that. Yeah. My neighbor down the road, he's got two of them in front of his house there, in front of his gate.
Yeah, and they're real narrow and upright.
Very narrow. And the branches are sparsely through.
Probably the ones we have at the nursery.
That's, you know, the branches don't get thick. They're sparse.
I don't know if there's any fastidiated variety of the blue atlas cedar as of yet.
Yeah.
The ones we have are tend to be a little more narrow. We have a certain group of them. They're not overly attractive at this point in their life.
No, they aren't.
Of course, who isn't? Who isn't ugly when you're young?
That's right. Who isn't ugly this time of year?
So anyway.
You never seen a cute baby, have you, Larry? They all say that.
Oh, well, yeah. Babies are
pretty baby.
All babies are pretty and cute.
Pretty and cute.
But once they turn about 9 years old, they start getting ugly.
They have that period of time.
Yeah. You get gangly and ugly. Then they fill out a little bit, and they're fine. So whatever.
What else is going on out there, Larry?
Pansies.
Pansies.
We've got the landscape pack of pansies, which is a more or less a consolidated flat. They're really nice-looking plants, big old blooms on them, real pretty. They're in the greenhouse, protecting them from this freeze, so when you plant them outside, they look nice. Was that a run-on sentence or what?
Okay, if you're protecting them from the freeze, well, what, if they put them outside, they're going to get frozen.
They're still freeze-tolerant.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
You're just making them look better right now.
Right, and as the weather progresses this week, it's going to be really nice weather.
Boy, it is.
Great for planting pansies. The root systems will get established real well.
Yeah.
When they'll be adapted, because we got some variability in the night and the day temperature, they will adapt to the cool weather when it comes. Hopefully it won't get down to 11.
Man.
I don't think it's supposed to.
But really, we had some pansies that were outside of pots, and they're just happy as a clam.
So. That wasn't a zinger, though, was it, Larry?
No, not quite. It was just a little bump in the night.
A little bump in the night there. There's the bump. You heard it here first.
So I think things are doing just fine. If anything, it made the burning bush really color up.
Oh, gosh.
They're really spectacular.
They are.
We have some nice ones of those, too.
Take your chainsaw after them here for long.
Last year I did that to mine.
Yeah.
And they only got about 4 feet tall. Really nice, thick.
Did you take a chainsaw to them?
Bushes. I couldn't get my chainsaw to start.
Oh.
So I had to use the pruning shears.
That takes too long. And don't forget.
It took more time to start.
On Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving Day is when you'd go out and cut the rose bushes off.
Yep.
And it's always on Thanksgiving.
Well, everybody's in there clattering about the relatives.
I'm out there with my hedge trimmers.
I get out there with my hedge trimmers.
Those big hedge.
Noted.
But no, really, I spent more time trying to start the chainsaw than actually cutting back the burning bush. Pretty soon I'm going to cut back my cherry laurels. They're getting too tall. It's a screen plant I have behind the house. They're getting too tall and leggy, and they need to be whacked back real good. So I might bring them down and let you shred them up in your shredder.
Yeah, or burn them. I just burn down there. Piles. I've got a big pile. I've trimmed trees all fall. Just kept trimming. I've got a huge pile.
Yeah.
But I hate to burn this time of year. It's so dry and the grass is.
Have you dug a hole in the ground lately?
Well, I understand, but I'm talking about the surface.
I know, the surface is kind of dry.
And if the wind's blowing, guess what happens?
Yep. You need to wait until we get this medieval type weather where it's cloudy and misty and cold and miserable. Yeah, so then you can push her out of the city limits there. So.
I know, but anyway, so I've done lots of trimming.
Yep, I got to do that some this weekend. I've got to tidy up my fruit trees a little bit.
Tidy them up.
Yeah, they need a little training. We had a bumper crop of plums this year, so.
Where's the plum jelly?
I didn't bring you any.
Shoot. I got three on my desk.
You do? Mm-hmm. Wow. Thanks, Larry.
I'll bring you some plum jelly.
Larry, I always have your plum jelly.
You'll probably come knock on the door, you know. Where's my plum jelly? Yeah.
So what else you been doing out the nursery? You putting in sprinkler systems this time
of
year?
Doing a little bit of sprinkler system work, yep. Some sprinkler system repairs.
Sidewalk. You got a sidewalk.
Doing walkways to the pavers, the bell guard pavers. Those are really attractive.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of those lately. And really, really nice.
And then you got coming up, you got any poinsettias going to be out there?
Poinsettias will be out here in another week or two.
Yep.
They'll be up and ready.
And,
you don't want to buy your poinsettias. We got something called one. You don't want to buy them too early. You want to get them later on in the month, around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And remember, Thanksgiving is late this year. There's only about 3 weeks between Thanksgiving till Christmas. So.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I got to get shopping. Oh.
No. Yeah. You don't start that till about the 23rd.
Yeah, I know. 4th. We'll be out there the 24th at midnight. What can I get from my wife?
I need something for her.
Oh, man.
I know. Anyway. All right. About break time, I think.
It is break time indeed.
And we'll come back. Larry's got a whole list of stuff here we've talked. So anyway.
All right, very good.
We'll be right back.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Knowalter Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Fall is finally here, and it's time to start thinking about your fall planting. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of trees, shrubs, mums and pansies. And mums and pansies are in various colors. Want to have a beautiful lawn in the spring? It's time to sow fescue seed now, and Green Thumb has the best seed around. Five-star blend fescue seed. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Now's the time to get your vehicle ready for winter and those holiday trips. See David or Anita Miller at ABS Performance and have your vehicle checked for antifreeze and have them check your heater too. Don't get caught out in the cold. Be safe and have ABS Performance winterize your vehicle before you leave town. Call today, 918-333-4420 for your appointment. That's ABS Performance on Price Road across from the Washington Park Mall. ABS would like to thank their customers for their loyal patronage.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. We got Larry Glass with us, the man with the emerald thumb. If you have any questions for him, feel free to call us 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Those numbers again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you'd like to be on the Green Country Gardener program on the Saturday morning. Larry, what have we not touched on right now?
We haven't really talked about digging up your caladiums, elephant ears, and banana trees in Canada's.
Okay.
So that's time for that.
Okay. And why is that?
Because they're traditionally not hardy here in the winter.
Okay.
A lot of people's cannas do survive the winter very well, but some people's don't. And if we get a zinger this winter, it could knock out your canna population.
Which you don't want.
No, you really don't. You want the Noah's Ark, some of them, you know.
Quick, get in the... Oh, yeah. Wait.
And I started out with one elephant ear bulb about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now I've got a whole... big old basket full of them every year. So now I've got to dig those up.
Yeah.
So they'll make it through the winter too. So it hasn't really been that cold that it goes down that deep to kill out the entire bulb. So do that. Mm-hmm. And I dug up all my annuals this last week and got the soil all turned up and ready for next spring. Might put a few pansies up front just to give it a little bit of color.
That's good.
And I probably won't put anything in because I got to really cut back my shrubs this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing my house. I can't find it.
Where did you go? I cannot say.
Somewhere, there's a house behind all this stuff somewhere.
Really got to cut back on the shrubs.
It's not that bad. Actually, I run into a lot of that when I go to people's house to talk about their landscapes. Hey, where's your house? You know.
Right. Like, you need to lose that shrub. And that.
Yeah, I know. It's overgrown. It's overgrown. They've got new stuff. This is not 1963 anymore. You need... We have a lot of nice plants that don't get so awful big,
right?
In on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I heard you talking to Kevin about making pathways, pavers.
Yeah,
you can just make a path right through the shrubs to the house. Maybe that'll help. But you got to find the house first.
You got to find the house first, right. And that typical walkway is anywhere from 2'8" to 3' wide. That's kind of what we go on that. Okay. And golly, when we put them down, we lay a bed of concrete on the edge to keep that edge nice and straight, and then use the packed base in between.
Right.
I don't want to give away too many trade secrets here.
That's fair.
So it's a little bit of a process, but if you do it properly, it's long lasting. As I said earlier, we're doing a walkway for somebody, and of course, right in the middle of it, we have 12 inches of rain, whatever it was, and the ground is saturated, and we still have some liquefaction in there, and we integrated some gravel in with the clay to get it to tighten up a little bit, and it was just about ready to put pavers on Friday, but I said no, we're gonna wait some more time and see if it holds up. And if it doesn't, you got to dig all the stuff out, put new in, and pack it real good. Because if you don't have a stable base, you're going to have this, a big obstacle course rather than a nice sidewalk. So you have to make sure the preparation is proper on that. And that on any kind of hardscape project you might want to do, be it retaining walls or something, you'll want to make sure the base is proper. We're doing a project in Nowata, actually, coming up. And involve some retaining wall blocks and things. And they really don't know what they're in for on that because we don't just lay them on the ground. No, you can't do that. You have to put a base in to keep them stable.
All right.
And then they're glued together.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay, so anyway.
Yeah. But you said the banana trees, correct?
Yep. If you have some banana trees, are hardy down to 10 degrees.
Okay.
And some people have had those. If you mulch a mineral heavily, they'll make it okay. Elephant ears, I've had them survive in the winter, too, with a heavy layer of mulch on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get them to survive, but you never know what happens with our weather here. Also to plant trees and shrubs, too.
Okay.
Trees, we've been selling a lot of trees, planting quite a few. And people have been buying them and throwing them in the trunk and planting them 2 or 3 weeks later. But anyway.
And today would be a good day to do it, Kevin was saying. And, of course, you have, the next 2 or 3 days to do it.
And you need to look at your soil, too. If the soil is really bad, which is common around here, soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's common for the soil to be bad.
Bad.
Despite what they say, we do recommend a transition between your soil and your tree with a soil mixed with compost in it to help keep the soil aerated enough for the roots to adapt. But if you plant a tree in clay, it'll compact back down. Then you have soilless anaerobes.
Yeah, this sounds kind of scary. Sci-fi movie.
It turns into root rot.
Okay.
And some of the species that are particularly sensitive to root rot, but of course the first on the list would be dogwoods. They're very, very sensitive to root rot, phytophthora, and all the other nasty things that affect plants that are planted in clay that shouldn't be. So... If you do want a tree like that, say a dogwood or Japanese maple, you might ask, first of all, I'll tell you where you live, and I can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
But how do I install this? What do we need to do?
I'm also curious, too. You were mentioning dogwoods being sensitive to rot. What other trees would you say are sensitive to it?
The dogwoods are especially, the Korean dogwoods, not so much as the Cornus Florida. But I have a dogwood in the back of my house. It's 2 stories tall, and I hardly ever water it. It's got to be knocking at my window, "Gabe, water me, please," before I water it, because they don't like wet conditions. They like well-drained conditions. So if you do want something like a dogwood, don't plant it at the bottom of a hill where the water tends to gather between storms. You want to put it on the hill or an area where the water drains away, because they can get swamped out pretty quickly.
It's called the dogwood on the hill.
In their native habitat, they grow in amongst other trees in an area that's the soil is either kind of rocky and also well-drained. You never find them in the river basins.
And again, we have Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, with us. If you have any questions, gardening questions for him, feel free to call us 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, that's 918-336-1400. Or 1-800-749-5936. And you were talking about it's a good time to plant some plants. What plants should people be planting?
Just about anything, really.
Okay.
I kind of like to refrain, maybe if you can wait on the dwarf nandinas.
Okay.
because they tend to lose all their leaves right around Easter after the winter. And people think they're dead. Mm-hmm. And they'll call and say, okay, yeah, we'll bring one out. And we'll just swap them out. And the ones we exchange leaf out. And we can use them for other replacements or whatever.
Right.
So anyway, so some plants are a little touchy like that. You will get some defoliation on your Nandinas the first year they're planted, but after that they're fine.
Okay.
So most plants, really no problems planting them right now.
Right. So, what do you normally see people interested in at this time of the year as well when it comes to planting plants?
They want color.
Yeah.
They want winter appearance. And we do have some solutions for that. The Obsession Nandina is a good one. We planted five of them yesterday. Really, really nice plants. Purple leaves on them. Very attractive. Holly plants, of course, are evergreen. You get some with berries on them, too. Mm-hmm. The Nellie R. Stevens holly is one example. We give it lots of room to get big. We also have dwarf Burford holly, which tends to be a bit more behaved in a situation. So there are some plants that do maintain some appearance throughout the winter as well. You might also think of perennials. The Lenten rose is another one, the Helleborus. It blooms in the wintertime, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a kind of an attractive plant. We'll have some of those ready pretty soon. They're not quite ready yet. So there are some selections. And then, of course, pansies. There are some selection for color in the winter.
Okay. So. Awesome. Those are some plants that you could get. And, of course, we'll probably talk about more of those a little bit later in the program. I think we probably should take a break really quick. We'll be right back with more of the Green Country Garden program.
This is Jeremy with Bartlesville Chrysler CDJ Truck. I want to invite you guys to come out and make the drive to Bartlesville with a no-pressure, hassle-free buying experience. With a full-service shop, you can be rest assured that you'll be getting a properly vetted, great used car when you buy it from BCDJ. With over 15 cars in stock at under $15,000 and payments as low as $250 a month, you'll be sure to get a good deal. Ask about the 2015 Hyundai Veloster or the 18 Nissan Versa. They don't break the bank, and they'll last you for years to come. And remember, we will not be beat on any price, guaranteed. Bartlesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Truck on Highway 75 South in Bartlesville, or shop us at BartlesvilleCDJ.com.
Just finished working on the truck here at the Gusher. Clean vehicle as near as I can tell. What do you think of the Gusher?
Hey, it's awesome, actually. Got free vacuums all the time. I mean, you pull in here and clean your truck up anytime you want.
As far as the value you got for your price, what do you think?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely a good, cheap place to go.
You commented on the vacuum. I think nearly everybody I talk to talks about the vacuum.
Yeah, like I said, you can pull in here anytime you want, man. You can vacuum your any vehicle you got for free. I mean, but you can't get no better than that.
I couldn't say it better. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No problem.
You've got a shiny vehicle here as you just pulled it through the gusher. Looks like you're getting some spots of water off of what you got left here.
Yes, sir. They do a great job here.
Could I call you a regular customer?
Yeah, I'm a regular customer.
And what do you think of it overall? Good value?
Good value. Great value.
Take a lot of time to get the job done?
No, it's very quick. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. It's a good day to go to the gusher.
It is a great day to go to gusher. Every day is a good day to go to gusher.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gusher Car Wash, one block south of Price Road on Highway 75 across from Aldi's. Come for the great wash, stay for the free vacuum.
Shop Peters True Value in Dewey for these bargains of the month. Holiday Wonderland LED light reels. Your choice of 200 count mini lights, 200 count C3 lights, or 75 count C9 faceted lights in cool white, warm white, or multicolored for $14.99 each after an instant $1 rebate. 50 pound pet expert dog food, $16.99. Your choice 12 pack double or AAA batteries, $4.99 per pack. And True Value 10 pound black oil sunflower bird seed or 20 pound wild bird feed, $4.99 each. Price is good through December 1st.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas.
We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
And welcome back. We're having a good time on this Saturday morning with the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles. We got Larry Glass with us, the man with the emerald thumb. If you have any questions for him, any gardening questions, feel free to call him. 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, what have we not touched on yet?
Actually, when you do plant some trees with all the critters out there, I know this week I had close encounters with deer 3 times. You really got to watch it going up and down several lake roads.
Yeah, I've, you know, the other day you mentioned watching out for deer. I actually kind of ran into a couple dogs almost the other day, or the other night. It was weird. They were like huge, like white dogs. I couldn't tell what they were because I just drove past them really fast, but it scared me.
Woof. Yeah. They might bite your tires, you know, ow.
Yeah, I know. Then I'd have a flat, and then I'd be stuck with the dogs, and they might eat me.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
So watch those deers on the highway. But anyway, speaking of animals, we got a lot of little rabbits and things, too, and they really like to munch on your $300 Japanese maple.
Jeez.
So get some tree wrap will help stop that quite a bit.
It's quite a bite in the budget, if you will.
Yeah, it had to be once. A raccoon went and just stripped the bark right off. The day after we planted, the customer was so mad. They weren't mad at us. They were mad at this blasted raccoon that pulled all the bark off his plant. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's another guy that something ate the bark off of his dogwood tree.
Jeez.
Didn't get all the way around, though. So I told him, just get some tree wrap, wrap it around. It should heal up and eventually encapsulate the wound. Mm-hmm. But if the animal does eat all the way around the tree, it will kill it.
Okay.
It's called girdling.
Is it girdling?
Girdling is the term, yeah. And okay. When you sever the link between the roof and the top, the phloem layer, that's where all the sugars and stuff are.
Yeah.
That's what the animals are after. Once they go all the way around the tree, well, get another one. It'll leaf out in the spring, and then it'll just kind of shrivel up.
It'll look pretty for a little bit until it's not.
There's enough gazetas in the stem to get it to going. But then it'll still draw up water.
Huh.
But the nutrients can't go back down to the roots and it'll just kill it. Yeah. So you might consider, if you did plant a rather expensive tree, you might consider getting a tree wrap. And that is in the form of either the bituminous impregnated crepe paper or the plastic type. We got some plastic little spiral things that you can put on there and keep them away. Mm-hmm. Chicken wire works pretty well, too. Hardware cloth works pretty well, too, also to keep the animals away. Life Boy soap or Irish Spring works real well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I bathe in that in the morning. But anyway.
Yes, got to love the spring Irish.
So, yeah. But anyway, defend your trees against the animals, because if we do get a real cold winter, they will be looking for some chow.
Yes.
And your specimen plants are pretty sweet, so they will go after them, especially when the grass has been killed off like it has early like this. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why there's so many deer moving around. The food source is a bit sparse, so they're having to forage a bit more. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of the deal with that. You want to protect your plants. Also, if you do cut your trees, you might want to get some tree wound dressing to seal that up, too.
Okay.
So,
anything else that people need to get for that?
For what?
Just wrapping. You said chicken wire, too. Is there any other, like, things that they can use to kind of protect their plants from animals? Or?
Well, weed mat will work, too. Just anything that makes it difficult for the animals to gnaw on your trees would help.
Okay.
The lawns, set your mowing height a little higher for fescue grass. The fescue might look a little crispy around the edges right now, but it'll pop out this week. Should look fine. Mm-hmm. Good time to plant fescue sod also. You can get it. I know I can get it real well, real nice looking stuff. But anyway, it's time to, you can do that real well. Broadleaf weeds like dandelions, if it's going to be warm this week, you can do some post-emergent control on that to help keep them from being real nasty in the spring when it warms up.
Right.
You get them when they don't know it. So anyway, you might want to. I have a whole lot of dandelions in my yard, but
got to get at them.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I'll do something about it this spring. So the mower, if you've got gasoline in your mower tank, you might want to run it till it runs out, especially if you got the gas with the bourbon in it. It'll erode your carburetor real bad, make it difficult to run in the spring.
Okay.
So it's a good idea to drain it out and operate it till it dies, it quits, just to get the fuel out of the gas tanks.
Right.
I use 93 octane alcohol-free gas in my stuff, and it works real well.
Okay.
So anyway, you want to make sure that's drained for the winter. Right. Also, if you have a power washer, Well, you're probably too late if you got water in it. It's already cracked the pump on it. So.
Yeah, especially with how cold it's gotten last week.
And I go to houses, and I still see people's hoses stuck on the wall. So mm-hmm. you want to make sure those are disconnected, too. And winterize the sprinkler system with these above-ground backflow preventers that we have to put in. They have to be drained properly, too. I've done a lot of them this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you do a sprinkler system with us, there's no charge for that on the ones we install.
The drainage is, there's no charge for the drainage, you say?
Uh-huh, or okay. to winterize your sprinkler system.
Okay.
You just have to kind of give us a reminder call.
And that would be the time to do it, considering how warm it's going to be, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it should have been done in the past. It's probably, if you do have an above-ground backflow preventer, it's probably too late at this point. It might have cracked it already. It was right. cold enough. However, if it was on the south side of the building, maybe didn't have a problem with it. So, and actually, I was at a house where they forgot it, and it really was unaffected. So, So you never know.
Yeah,
it depends on.
Maybe you lucked out.
It could be. So, make sure that's winterized. Be sure to turn your sprinkler timer to the off position.
Okay.
So it doesn't run around.
Right.
Well, the valves will open and close, and the solenoids on the valves tend to be water cooled. And if it's open for a long period of time, say if you have a drip system or something and there's no water in there, it could overheat the solenoid and burn it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of acts like a bit like a lightning strike. We get one, it'll pop your solenoids on the ground. And you have to replace them now and then when that happens. But if you do leave your timer on, you don't want to overheat your solenoids.
Right. So make sure you turn it off.
Exactly. So that's kind of it with the sprinkler system. Good time to have one installed, too. We do quite a bit of those. So.
Okay, and how would people go about setting that up?
Just give us a call and give you a very accurate estimate. And we start with a top-notch sprinkler system, 100% coverage,
mm-hmm.
and one that'll suit your water consumption. And if the budget's a little too high, then we can back off on that a little bit. I don't like to, but there's a certain minimum you want to establish when doing an irrigation system as far as pipe sizing and quantity of heads is concerned and coverage. Actually, you don't ever want to cut back on the coverage. Otherwise, you're wasting your money.
Right. Do you normally go out to a site before you put in a sprinkler system, or do you just, like, quote somebody?
Oh, we go to the site okay. and measure it and go back and do a CAD drawing. And then when we're done, we do a as-built drawing, which the measurements of where the valves are and all that, so you can find them later on.
Okay.
That's kind of cool, too.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Because when something goes wrong with a valve, I left the timer on, I burned out my valve, and I can't find it. Okay. Well, you can just take a tape measure and find it that way.
Right.
And also have a valve finder thing. We did a customer in Colonial. The system was put in, I think, in 1927.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I don't know.
That'd be crazy.
It hadn't been that long. I know it was 20 years old. And he didn't know where the valves were. So we did a search. We found them.
Cool.
And we thought he had a real problem under the driveway, but it turned out it was just a sprinkler head at the edge of the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
That the way the pipe down below was broken was shooting water under the driveway, and then it would surface on the other side of the driveway out by the street.
Huh.
Made a cavity in there. We looked in there, and there was a family of four in there with a living room and a big screen TV living underneath the driveway.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. Sounds nice. Roomy.
Yeah, roomy. So... Yeah, so take a little action to fill that gap in.
Is this valve detector of yours is like kind of like a metal detector thing or what?
It's we have a signal generator that
okay.
sends a 1400 kilohertz signal beep 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 down the line, and you follow it through with a receiver, and it has an extraordinarily louder tone to it when you hit a valve,
mm-hmm.
because the coil generates a more magnetism from that from the sender.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy to find.
It's awesome. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're sitting down with Larry Glass this morning, the man with the emerald thumb here on the Green Country Gardener Program. If you have any gardening questions for Larry, feel free to call us 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Larry.
Fall is finally here, and it's time to start thinking about your fall planting. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of trees, shrubs, mums, and pansies. And mums and pansies are in various colors. Want to have a beautiful lawn in the spring? It's time to sow fescue seed now, and Green Thumb has the best seed around. Five-star blend fescue seed. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas.
We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
Join K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 as we'll be broadcasting live from Get Real Ministries today beginning at noon. Get Real Ministries is having their Jesus Burger event, and everyone is invited. Free haircuts to those in need, games for the kids, live family-friendly music, hamburgers and hot dogs at 6:30. So join us for a Jesus Burger at Get Real Ministries, 411 West 14th Street in Bartlesville.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. We hope you're having a good Saturday morning so far. Thank you for listening to us on this Saturday morning. It's 8:45, number to call if you have any questions for Larry Glass concerning your garden or just grass and mowing the lawn or just anything regarding the garden or landscaping. Feel free to call us 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, what's the tree of the week?
Tree of the week would be pin oak.
Okay, what's a pin oak?
Pin oak is a Quercus palustris. It's not one of my favorites, but people like it because it has a tendency to grow very straight, good center leader, if you train it as such. And it grows quickly. That's probably its only attribute.
It's quicker. It's a quick grower.
Well, it goes relatively fast, yes. You can look outside right now, and you can pick out the pin oak. Those are the ones that still have leaves on them. And you can see there's one right between the street and the sidewalk, right there, just 3 feet of room.
Yeah.
And it's doing, it's thriving, you know. Yeah. So they can take a wide variety of soil conditions and drainage things and all that, except alkaline soil.
Oh man.
They don't like alkaline soil. They have a problem with iron uptake in alkaline soil.
Okay.
So you might want to look at your soil type. Some parts of town, if you do have a limestone base, you might want to avoid the pin oak because of that.
Where would you say in town that is a problem?
Petuna Park, close to the golf course.
Okay.
We have some problems over there with pin oaks. And,
it's the east side of town then.
Yeah, east side of town. Thing where else? There's some really good ones, so along Harned Road and Harris Drive and all that. Really nice, big old pin oak. There's big around it. Jeez, it's huge. And some good ones downtown, too. But anyway, the pin oak tree is a kind of a fast-growing tree. It grows fairly straight. But when they're young, when you're buying them at the nursery, they all look like crooked walking sticks.
Crooked walking sticks.
Because, when they're young, they tend to grow like this. Or like that, or whatever.
They don't
go straight up.
Yeah.
The growers get around that by attaching bamboo to them. Most of your trees, when they're young, they don't grow straight up. It takes them a little bit of discipline to grow straight.
Need a little bit of some guidance.
It's some guidance, that's right. And age, it comes with age, I guess. So be prepared to, if you want a pin oak, to buy a crooked one.
And is there anything else that people should know about
We don't have any pin oaks
You don't have any. You were just saying that.
That's not one of our favorites.
Oh no!
Really, what I really like is the Schumard oak. Uh-huh. Does very well here, or the northern red oak does quite well here also. Those are the big, giant, stately oak trees you see. Those are those two. And water oak's another good one. Mm-hmm. And chinquapin oak's a real good one, too. Shingle oak and so on. There are a lot of really nice big oak trees around town that we're not really stuck on one particular pin oak tree. Mm-hmm. I guess it's easy to say. Maybe that's why people like them.
Right.
But my water oak in the backyard still has green leaves on it. And they are sort of semi-evergreen. It takes a real zinger for the leaves to fall off of the water oak. And usually they do drop off later on in the year.
Right. So, I think we will have a caller, Larry. I think
put them on.
Take that really quick. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener.
Yes. I want to know, when does treat crabgrass?
When to treat crabgrass? Right about St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Use a
pre-emergent herbicide in mid-spring or early spring that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that would be the form of either Baylan or Baylan Treflan or Surflan. Prodiamine works very well to control those. There are several ones out there. And it all depends on your method of application, how you want to apply it, really.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Well, since it rained like Niagara Falls this last summer, we had we had to put down two applications of crabgrass control.
It's for like 10 Niagara Falls. That's what it felt like.
Next year, it'll probably be as dry as a bone.
Yeah, probably. Probably. So I don't know what would happen if that we had that same incident back-to-back years. But I think we do have another caller. But speaking of oaks that you were mentioning just a minute ago, what oaks do you have at the nursery?
We have all those I mentioned earlier, the chinquapin, we got a few of those, and water oaks and so on, mm-hmm. and so a couple northern reds, so we got them all kind of huddled together on the south side of the greenhouse right now, wintering over, but we can still get one out for you.
Okay, and I do think we have a caller on the line. It looks like we do actually have somebody that's talking to them right now, and now they're on hold, so we're going to go ahead and take that now. Go ahead, caller, you're on the Green Country Gardener.
Morning.
Good morning.
I've got an evergreen that was planted at the corner of my house.
Yes.
And I'm getting rid of it, but I'm kind of wanting to know what the root spread is on those.
Sure. This
thing's about 3 feet from the corner of the house, and the main trunk is probably 8 or 10 inches
in
diameter. Of course, there's several smaller trunks, anywhere from, 4, 5, 6 inches.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out, if I got to pull that or if I'm going to be under my foundation.
Oh.
I'm going to get it out.
What, is that a juniper or an arborvitae?
It's kind of a cedar smelling thing. It's an evergreen.
Sure. Those typically have a shallow root system on them. And one good tip is before you pull it out, go the day before or the night before and water it real well.
Okay.
Make it feel like, hey, I'm getting a good old drink of water here. And that'll help loosen up the soil around it. And typically, if it's with an 8-inch diameter trunk, you don't have a problem with a good foundation.
Okay.
They're shallow rooted for the most part.
Okay. Would it be a good idea to kind of dig around it some? Or
yeah, you want to go between the house and the plant and get a good sharp shovel and do some cuts, some vertical cuts in the ground. And actually, it would be best to dig a trench, if you will, around the tree and try to go down. If you do feel that it might pull out the foundation, dig a trench around it on the foundation side, go down about a foot or so. That's typically where most of the surface roots are in those plants. But usually up next to the house, because typically it's drier if you have an overhang on the house, most of the root system will be pointed out away from the house rather than towards it.
Because that makes sense, yeah.
There's nothing there for them.
I thought about that.
And when we do...
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as an alternative, you know any good stump carvers?
I don't know, really. But if you come across
kind of
a house,
to walk out of the house after dark and come around the corner, it's like, oh, who's that? It's, oh, that's Stump.
That's Stump. But anyway, that's kind of a rule we follow when we do pull one out. Is we big old chain on the back of the one ton truck and give it a few tugs, and usually it'll come right on out. But if it's a real big one, you'll want to do some cuts. And also, if you do cut the tree down beforehand, leave a good portion of the stalk above ground. You have a bit more torque to pull it out that way. If you have
I got about 4 foot.
Okay, yeah, that's
I like that pretty good.
That should be enough.
Well, when I finally get the thing out, then I guess we need to talk about what to put back in its place, if anything.
Ah, okay. There are quite a few different things you can do in that situation. So one of which, what I've done at my house, is actually planted just a regular old winter gym boxwood, and I keep it sheared up in a upright shape. And it's only once a year affair with the trimmers, the hedge trimmers, and they've maintained themselves in that shape very well with very little effort. So, and they never will get above 6 feet tall. So,
well, I think by the time when we bought the house, these things had got completely away. I mean, they were taller than the house and spread out probably 15-20 feet wide.
Yeah,
and it's just amazing.
I see a lot of that.
I've been working on them for quite a few years, trying to get them trimmed back, and I finally just said it's not worth it.
Right. I see a lot of that. People plant Japanese maples 2 feet from the house, and, you know, they get 20 feet wide, and some other plants really, really close to the house, and that's just not good.
And the other question is, then, how far should a guy plant from the house?
It depends on how tall you want the plant to be.
Uh-huh.
And then how, once you get that criteria established, you want to pick a plant that only gets about that tall. And then the diameter of that is related to the width. In other words, if you want to plant this 12 feet tall, you need to get it probably 4 or 5 feet away from the house.
Yeah.
So we can assume a good size. Now, that would be something like a needlepoint holly would fit that criteria. And so you do want to plant something like that about 4 feet away from the house. It might seem a little far at first when you plant it. It's like, oh, that thing's about 100 miles away from the house. but when it grows up, it'll grow into it. And it'll
one thing about them, they always tend to get bigger.
He's right.
If it looks real good when you plant it, you figure it's going to be too big.
on the plants themselves, they will have a height and width criteria on it, and you might want to look at that when you pick one out.
Yeah. Well, I imagine you've probably got illustrations of different plants and, you know, in relation to the house and stuff, I would expect.
Yeah, I do that.
Say, okay, what's it going to look like?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good day.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Close out the show.
In the early 1900s, the world was changing, and the United States was taking its place as the premier industrial and political power in the world. The newest frontier was not the Wild West as much as it was industry and technology. The world was changing around Bartlesville and in Osage County as well during this time. Frank Phillips and his brother L.E. were growing tired of the boom and bust of the oil business, and were in the process of selling off their oil leases and making plans to expand their banking business and making Kansas City their headquarters. The Phillips brothers owned lease 185 in Osage County, and by the terms of the lease, if they didn't drill it, they lost it. Well, it wasn't Frank Phillips' nature to walk away from an investment with at least trying, so rather than lose it, they decided to drill for oil, and they drilled 6 dry holes on that lease. And then finally, on their 7th try, they hit oil at around 100 barrels a day. Encouraged, they drilled one more just to the west, and on March 22, 1917, Frank Phillips stood on the drilling platform when the earth and all around him began to tremble. The well exploded with a gusher of over 1,000 barrels a day. It has been said that that well was the beginning of Phillips Petroleum Company, and therefore the history and legacy of Frank Phillips. Thanks to that well, we still have Willow Rock to remember the West, the oil, and the history of Frank and Jane Phillips. Come visit the past and capture the magic of Woolaroc. Welcome home to Woolaroc.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. On this Saturday morning, we have Larry Glass in with us. Unfortunately, probably not going to be able to take any more calls on this Saturday morning. We only got about a minute left here in this program. So, Larry, what are your kind of final thoughts for the show today?
Come by the nursery, check out what we got for sale. We've got, well, a great selection of houseplants right now. Succulent plants, easy to grow plants. We got some of those too. So, and all kinds of anthuriums and whatnot, and all those chemicals and fertilizers that the growers might need. We have a lot of that, including perlite and some pots and whatnot. So that's available too.
Yeah.
So just come by and check it out. See what your hometown nursery has to offer. We've got quite a few plants and shrubs to choose that do well in this area.
And, of course, you were mentioning it earlier with Kevin that, I mean, probably not the time to buy them yet, but you're going to have poinsettias soon.
We will have poinsettias pretty soon, too, and they will be kept in a greenhouse with the proper temperature. So when you bring them home, they look nice. They'll be nice and healthy.
And where can people find you, Larry?
We're on Nowata Road, south side of the road, halfway between Madison and Washington Boulevard.
And, of course, if people want to call you, they can call you at what number?
333-4091.
Okay.
Keep your shovel sharp. We shall see you next week.
We shall indeed. Thank you, Larry, so much.
Mm-hmm.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM.